You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to From the Black Hole, episode 64. On today's episode, we are joined by Josh Hartle, who's a longtime coach in Regina and is also starting up a Regina Futsal League.
Say episode 63.
Okay, but just sorry, now I already have to interject.
We just discussed this before you hit the play button.
We didn't discuss the number though. Sorry about that. This will be 64.
This will be 64. Sorry.
Because I've got 63 that I haven't edited and put out yet.
Ah. Okay.
If that makes sense. It's been sitting there waiting for me and I haven't gotten around to it. So apologies for that. But anyway, yes, this will be 64.
This will be 64. All right.
And this will be, so let me just want to say one other thing. This will be part three of our focus on Saskatchewan.
Yes, that's right. Do we have a determined number of parts yet?
It'll be at least 5 and maybe as many as 7.
That'd be nice. Well, let's try and hit that magic number 7, that lucky number 7.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. But anyway, today we have a really interesting guest. We have Josh Hartle, who is from Regina. You are, I guess, right now you're working on sort of the Futsal Regina project. You're also part of the Queen City Soccer Club. But if you wouldn't mind, give us the full run through, a good biography, let everybody know all the soccer activities you're doing in Regina, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, sounds good. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Good stuff. I appreciate that, Jeff. I basically kind of touched on it. The big thing that we're working on right now is the Regina United Futsal Federation. We're working to get the futsal off the ground here in Regina. We actually just yesterday, or I should say Saturday and Sunday, had the first refs clinic here for futsal. So we had the Lenchlack out of Saskatoon come down and lead a group for us. We had 10 individuals sign up for it. So that's exciting for us. That's been the big thing that's kind of been our barrier right now, is just getting certified refs. So once we get that, our plan is to get an eight-team men's pilot going here starting in January. Hopefully have that run until March and see where it takes us from there. So that's the big thing for me. And then outside of that, I also am a head coach for Queen City Soccer here in Regina for the U16 and U18 boys. With the Center of Excellence here in Regina, it's definitely keeps me busy.
I wouldn't doubt it. Just to talk on the Center of Excellence for a second, is that part of the provincial or national framework, I guess?
Yeah, is the understanding that I've got is CSA has set the standard for how they want their pathway to the national team, and so they've move towards the Center of Excellence in the regional zones and away from the, I guess it was the recs or the mm-hmm. Nets, I think is what it was at one time for the back in the day. So yeah, they've kind of left it up to the individual clubs that have the set standards to train the future national players. And then once the players are in that pathway, then I think that's the approach to get to the national team, is to be training in that environment.
Perfect. So, go ahead, Rob.
Let me just, I just kind of have a quick question about that in terms of, we've had some other guests on the podcast that have spoken to that as well. And it seems like the CSA's kind of different pathway model that they've started to work on is, you know, they've got away from provincial teams and they've got away from National Training Center and those kinds of things, right? Yeah. And so has there been any word of the Prairies being included in these regional camps that they've been having? They've been having a lot of, you know, U14, U16, U18 regional camps in Ontario, Quebec, BC, mostly, right? Yeah. And then they've been taking kids from those camps and playing these different age group friendlies. Like they were in LA a little while ago playing the US team back to back. They played Mexico back to back a little while ago. Is there any talk about Saskatchewan kind of getting included in this whole spiel?
Well, you know, I don't know a ton of detail about how they're setting that up, but I do know that I do have one of the kids that I've been training at U16 that was identified to go to one of the camps in the West here for the national program, I guess you could say.
Oh, so, okay.
I do know that they're. I think it kind of comes out of the provincial and you know the PSP and the high performance and all that stuff. Being in that environment and getting noticed and then kind of getting on the radar for those guys. So as far as I know, the potential is there. It's just a matter of making it happen.
Perfect. So, just to take a look at everything that's happening with futsal in Regina, up until this point, there really hasn't been any necessarily organized futsal in the city. And so how have things been coming along with setting up the Regina, what was it against the Regina Futsal Federation?
Rough.
Yeah.
Regina United Futsal Federation. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, things are, I'll be honest. I mean, it's been a challenge for us. It's something new. It's something different. I think it's a matter of, it's an exciting game and, you know, you're absolutely right. There hasn't been anything organized here in Regina, to the best of my understanding, and I don't think that it's been any of the framework of the current organizations. And so, a group of us got together and saw a bit of an opportunity. And you know, at the end of the day, we're wanting to supplement what's already there. And you know, I think it's a fun game, and I think there's a lot of potential to grow it here. But it has been a challenge just to get things off the ground. And, I think it's like anything new. It takes a while to get the word out. And it's been a lot of work to get our stuff in line as far as getting our bylaws and our website and, you know, getting all of that stuff and trying to get that in place in order to start facilitating the game going forward.
So it's a completely separate organization. Like, it's an independent organization. Totally outside of FC Regina and Queen City Soccer Club at the moment, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a regular member of SSA, so completely separate from the two organizations and any of the academies or anything like that. So non-profit organization and completely separate from everybody.
Could we actually back up for a second, just in case? Like, I mean, you know, most people that are aware of soccer fans or whatever are well aware of futsal, but there might be people that are just like, okay, I'm just not even sure what they're talking about. Josh, could you just, you know, kind of run through what the game looks like?
Yeah.
Maybe highlight some of the differences from soccer, because obviously it's a soccer-like game. And then maybe talk about some of the things your league would need to operate and function in kind of a normal manner. Those things are obviously the things you're trying to get in place now, right? So what does a futsal league need?
Yeah, for sure. So the game itself is a very skill-based game. Compared to your typical soccer or your indoor soccer game, there's five on a field, so it's four plus a keeper. It's typically played on a hard surface, but FIFA does, I think it was recently actually, FIFA said that they do sanction turf as well. So that's one thing that we have right now is out of the QC facility where we'll be playing out of. The turf is in there with the lines and everything, so it's
right.
It's similar to about a quarter field. It's the main difference between that and soccer is that it's very less physical, so there's very limited physical contact, so it really promotes skill. It's also, there's limits on how much goalies can touch the ball and keepers can touch the ball, so it prevents players from going backwards and almost forces players to play forward, to take players on, to focus on skills and ball at your feet and that type of thing. So it's otherwise it's, you know, it's somewhat similar, but yet the rules are, as I learned yesterday in a lot more detail sitting in on that referee course, the rules are very different compared to your typical indoor soccer or even your outdoor soccer for that matter.
So who kind of started the Regina United Futsal Federation? Where did it get its start, and how did you initially get involved?
Yeah, there's a group of three of us that are, I'll say, behind it. And so we, you know, we all played together, and we just kind of saw, watching it, seeing highlights, and just, kind of came out of that is, there's the facility that's there at Queen City is all lined for FIFA. And, we just kind of started talking, and it built out of that, guys, for us, it's, as we get older, it's tougher and tougher to get, 15, 20 guys out for an outdoor field game in the summer. And, we kind of said too, wouldn't it be nice if there was another option for some guys that maybe can't make it out to consistently, that maybe there's less players that are needed to form a team. And, we just, not that we're trying to take players away from indoor or anything like that. We, we just really wanted to we saw an opportunity to add what's already there and help out with, trying to develop soccer players. And so I think futsal is a good, it really provides that opportunity. So that's kind of where it came out of, is just a bunch of us talking and kind of turned it into this.
I find it's interesting that it's hard to get players out as they get older. I think that if doctors would be more liberal with their cortisone, we would get more old guys out to play soccer. I'm talking about my team specifically. We're almost all perennially injured now. We're at that stage, right? The stage of playing through the pain, walking upstairs with pain, sitting down for supper with pain.
Yeah, I think they just need to start giving some home over-the-counter cortisone injections.
Sure, why not?
Directly into the bloodstream.
You can go into the back of Moe's Tavern and get a cortisone shot. Yeah, exactly. Thing, right? It's on the menu.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, at the lobby. The lobby has a shot and a shot.
That's right, a shot and a shot at the lobby. Go back for a cortisone.
You should tell, what's-his-face, the guy that runs that place. That,
the cat, yeah.
Yeah.
He should run that as a gag.
Yeah, the shot and a shot.
Shot and a shot.
They'll probably get
whiskey and a shot of cortisone.
Yeah, exactly. That's, Justin was asking me if I'd be interested in playing in the over 35. It's just like 10 indoor games.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that'd be perfect. A perfect promo for the over 35 league.
Yeah.
Come to the lobby after your game for a shot and a shot.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
So with, I have to remember my question at this point, but right now, I know you guys are just working right now to sort of get things established. Whereabouts are you in getting, I guess, the league established? Is Rough more than just the league, or is the league mainly what Rough is there to run?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That as a regular member, we are there to administer the league and to govern futsal in Regina. So, I mean, we want our role right now is to administer a league, and that's where we want to keep it right now. I think as we as our vision, I guess I'll say, is to try to expand it into. I mean, we're starting right now with a one division men's league, and our vision is to kind of, I think the big thing is to try and get it started and get the word out and get the excitement going and get some hype and build it. And I mean, our vision would be to expand that into, whatever it can be, into whether it's women's or youth or, other co-ed or whatever, just to really try to build it. So, I mean, basically where we're at now is, now that we have the ref certified, we're basically ready. We've got three teams that are currently registered, and we're just in the process of getting the individual players registered. So our goal is to get eight teams. I know there's lots of teams that have expressed interest. We're just trying to finalize getting teams to commit. But really, to be honest with you, if we get a couple more teams, we're ready to get going.
Interesting. So, right now, do you guys have a bit more of a focus on getting adult teams over youth?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we want to start. I think for us, we want to, I shouldn't call it a pilot, but that's pretty much what it is. An 8-team men's pilot is we're trying to kind of work out the kinks of getting things going with that. and then, you know, focus on building that first. And then once we've got that fully operational, then look at expanding outside of that. So, I mean, I think our vision right now is there's lots of opportunities for youth in Regina with what exists right now. And I think there's lots of potential with futsal, but I think we want to make sure that when we do look to expand, that we are in a place where it's fully running and that it is a program that people are going to want to flock to and do it the right way.
Okay, interesting. So I don't know if you guys are at the point yet, but do you kind of have a bit of a design in mind for how you want to eventually get into running the youth, like running a youth league and using it sort of as a purposeful developmental path for the youth players?
We, you know, we have that as a kind of a point in our vision, but it's nothing that's really been defined yet.
Okay.
To be honest, we've kind of been so focused on just trying to get the league ready, up and running, and get things to the point it is now that we really don't have a defined pathway for what that's going to look like. I think for us, I mean, it's a group of three of us behind it, so we want to make sure that, you know, let's see if there's an interest first. I mean, it's everybody we've talked to is excited and interested, but it's a matter of, you know, will that translate to players that want to play? And I think that's where we're at now. Is once we, I think once people see that this is, that there is futsal in Regina, and, you know, getting people to come out and see it and see what the game offers and how quick and fun and, you know, skill-based it is. Once I think that hype and interest is generated, then I think that's the point where we'll look to expand it further from there.
Right. That's interesting. So I wanted to ask a bit about how things have been in sort of the being able to make progress within Regina. I don't necessarily want to get into sort of like the political background of any of the soccer in Regina, because we know there's all too much of that. But just when it's come to being able to approach the different clubs and just sort of getting the word out and getting interest, how has that been within the Regina soccer landscape, I guess? I'll leave it fairly broad to see. So yeah. You can take whatever direction you want to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like I think with anything new, there's questions that have been asked, you know, what's the purpose and what's the rationale and the reasoning. And I mean, fair enough. We understand that it's like anything new, you know, sometimes it's the unknown factor and, you know, is it going to compete with what exists? And, you know, that's really what we've had to work our way through, is to just kind of explain what I've talked about tonight with, you know, it being developmental and being supplementary to what's there, and for those that want extra touches and whatnot. So, I mean, we're working through it. It's not without its challenges. I mean, there's some organizations and some clubs that have been, you know, 100% receptive to it. And then there's others that have been a little more, you know, maybe not so much, but I mean, it's something that we're working through. We've reached out and we're, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to work with all of the different organizations and the clubs, and, you know, we'd welcome anybody that wants to work with us as well. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're just trying to help what's there and give people opportunities. And I, you know, for us, that's the end, you know, that's the end goal for us, is just to give them opportunities, and those that are interested are going to work with us, and those that won't, that's fine too.
Could I just jump in there for a second, Jeff? I mean, I think it's kind of interesting that you've also got, you know, your soccer side is mm-hmm. really on the developmental side, and then you've got this football side, and there seems to be some potential liaison there. So I guess my question is, you know, okay, so let's say there's a club and they're not terribly keen on you know, sending their kids your way or promoting you within their club or whatever, mm-hmm. because you know, they're afraid that they're going to pull some kids away and they're not going to, you know, whatever, do it what they want them to do with the club. What would you say to the person in terms of what futsal could offer the kids, potentially, if you're going to down the road expand to youth? What could it offer the youth at a club that maybe they couldn't get otherwise?
Yeah, I think it's extra training and extra opportunities. I think for us, you know, in looking at a professional futsal game, you can see the one-on-one individual skills and movement off the ball and the extra touches when there's only four people on a field. I mean, I guess I'll break it down to us. It's similar to a small-sided training in soccer.
Right, right.
Small-sided training is so important in, you know, if you actually, I don't know the statistics, so I'm not going to shout them out, but if you look in an 11v11 game, one player is only on the ball, and it's, you know, if you actually take how much time they're on the ball, I mean, it's limited, you know, you're making, but you're not on a ball, so you're not doing your individual as much as you would be in a small-sided game, in a training session or in a futsal type environment where there's only four people on a field and you're forced to go forward, you're forced to take players on, you're forced to be creative and get that extra touch and be comfortable with the ball at your feet. And I think that's probably the best way to describe what futsal can provide to a youth player or any player for that matter. I love soccer. I'm a huge fan of it, but I mean, I'm also a fan of, you know, this side of it too. And, you know, if you can have an organization that gives kids the opportunity to develop their skills in a different environment. And, you look at, you know, all of the South American countries and a lot of the Messis, the Suarez, the, you know, some of the best players of today, they all grew up playing futsal and, you know, they're all huge supporters of it because of the developmental factor of it. So, I mean, that's what I would probably try to lay out and say, listen, we're not about trying to draw kids away from your programs. It's about trying to help you guys with your programs by developing kids that can take players on, that can work on 1v1 skills and have that a different environment.
Well, I think it's painfully apparent when we watch national team games at all levels that, I mean, you know, if we have a player for one of our national teams, men's or women's, at any of the age levels, and they're able to take a player on and beat them, you know, they're a diamond in the rough, in a sense.
Yeah, everybody sits up. Everybody all of a sudden sits up. It's like, oh, look at that guy.
Yeah, is that guy, like when you watch a Petrasso take on the entire, I'm trying to remember what game it was in qualifying, but he took on one of the team's defense and just roasted at least one or two guys, and it was like, this kid's the real deal, you know? And that's something that I think we need more of, and that's an interesting segue. I kind of wanted to move away from futsal for a second and go back to your coaching with Queen City. Working with the Center of Excellence, have you taken the kids and played teams from out of province at all?
Not yet.
Not yet? No. Have you played kids from around the province outside of Regina so far?
Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago we were in Saskatoon at the Off the Wall tournament. With the boarded league there, the boarded tournament that Hollandia put on.
Yeah.
So that was really our first, I guess, competition here. I mean, with the Center of Excellence and, you know, without getting into a lot of details, without having a league to play in right now, you know, a lot of what we're doing is training with our Center of Excellence kids and just looking for tournaments to get into. So I know we're in Saskatoon again. I think it's the 8th and 9th of January, and then we're going to Winnipeg for a tournament in February, and then we haven't confirmed exactly where we're going, but in probably March or April, we'll be looking at a showcase tournament for our 18s and 16s.
Interesting. So playing in that tournament up here in Saskatoon, how was that experience with the kids, and is it a little bit different when it's that kind of training program? How did they perform? You know, what were things that you noticed that you saw as positives that came out of that?
Well, I mean, both the 16s and the 18 group, they both won their respective divisions. When you're training as much as they are, I see improvement from. I mean, I've had some of these kids for a couple of seasons now, but I look at, you know, the high performance criteria and the streamline that, or the, I guess the. Basically, the way the Queen City's done it is they've got the competitive and then the high performance stream, and the athlete chooses which stream they want to go down. The competitive is your typical, you know, your couple times a week, and your high performance is, you know, your 7.5 hours a week. And so the athlete chooses the pathway that they want. And then in order to maintain and be part of that, there's standards that they have to meet. And it's not necessarily all skill or talent based. There's, you know, so much more of the, you look at the long-term player development and the five pillars, and that's what we look at too when we evaluate these athletes for these programs. So, You know, I'm looking at some of the kids that have come in that maybe aren't at that high talent level, but are putting all of the work in and are committing to the program and showing up every week. And some of the progression that some of these kids have made in the last 2 months or 3 months that we've been working with them, you see it, you know, you see a strong progression from where they were to where they are. And I think that's only going to progress when we move forward with, you know, a full 40-week program of this over the next, you know, in the course of the year, having the 40 weeks that we're, that the Center of Excellence is mandated to operate. I mean, I'm excited for where some of these kids are going to be able to go.
Interesting. So with the Center of Excellence with Queen City, what connections do you guys have beyond your program? Because I guess as an example, for instance, Astra Academy has a relationship with FC Edmonton, the FC Edmonton Academy. And then, of course, the Whitecaps Saskatchewan Academy, which used to be the Huskies Academy, has that direct pathway to the Whitecaps. What's sort of the pathway beyond the QC Center of Excellence?
Yeah, well, the QC Club is one of the North American affiliates for the Wolves, the Wolverhampton Wolves out over in England. Yeah. So they're so that's kind of the pathway that we've developed for these guys. And actually this past summer, we had some of the coaches come out from their academy. They came out and put on a few day camp, and a number of those individuals that were there were identified to go to their camp they pull all of their North American academy or affiliates or whatever you want to call them together. And I think it was Atlanta.
I think. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And so a number of our athletes were there. And then from there, we've had a number of those that have been identified to go over to England next spring. So, I mean, that's kind of our pathway for our athletes. And I mean, we also have a lot of, I mean, maybe more informal relationships with a lot of the different colleges and, colleges and universities throughout Canada and the United States as well, just through, you know, everybody's connections and whatnot. So, I mean, it's kind of been my mandate as a coach since I've started I've been with QC for about 8 years, but my big thing is I really don't care about wins and losses or, you know, how many medals we get. I've got a box full of medals that I couldn't tell you what half of them are for. I want to be remembered for how many players are playing in a university program or got a scholarship or that are in a national program. That's what I care about is developing those players. And I think that's been, it's why I coach, and that's why, you know, I'm with the club that I am, because I really see that that's the same value that they have is about developing players. So, I mean, that's my goal as a coach is to help those guys do whatever we can to get them to that next level. And that's why I really like this high performance programming and being able to get these athletes in that environment that they can expect at the next level.
So, I'm interested to, because this is the whole development discussion is the big discussion that's happening in Canadian soccer right now. It's happening clear across the country in a whole bunch of different venues. Everybody's talking about what does it mean? What does LTPD mean? Why are we doing this? Should we be changing? And then all this kind of stuff is really interesting. And I've had some discussion with people in smaller centers like Regina too. And yep. And I think maybe you're the perfect person to answer this question. Some of the laments of a lot of the coaches that I've talked to is that by the time kids hit, 14, 15, 16, there's this major drop off in the number of registrations and, you know, you end up having kids that just their kind of commitment to the game kind of evaporates. And I think a lot of that had to do with the lack of an obvious player development pathway straight through to university or pro. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, do you feel that's changing? Do you think that you've got, that maybe there's a different scenario now and some of these kids do see that and want to stay in for a longer term, or is it still a bit of a struggle?
You know, I think as you get older, I mean, if you look at any, I mean, I can only speak for our club, but just in looking at other clubs as well, as you get older, you tend to see, at a U18, most clubs struggle to put a team together at that age. Now, I mean, if you look younger than that, I mean, I can only speak for Queen City, but I don't think we've, I mean, we're a club of about just under 300, so maybe we're not, you know, our volume is a little different to judge, but, you know, I don't think we've seen a lot of a drop-off in the last little while at that age. We do have the odd age where we, you know, we the numbers are down, but I think, I mean, in answer to the question, I think there's always going to be a bit of a, I guess it's tough. I don't know. I think it is changing. I think there are, you know, I think if an athlete is looking to be a soccer player at the next level, I think the opportunity and the focus on development is there. But I also think that at those ages, it's almost difficult for kids to play more than one sport. And so they mm-hmm. almost have to specialize at that age. And whether it's football or hockey or, you know, that's what we found. And in my experience, it's difficult for some kids because they want to play different sports or they want to be a multi-sport athlete. But like any sport, you almost have to specialize when you get to that 16, you know, 15, 16, 17, if you want to go to that next level. And so I think that's, you know, what I'm noticing is that players, especially with our high performance program, those are the players that want to train and are committed just like they would be to hockey and soccer, mm-hmm. football and other sports where, you know, it's mandated that you're there. And if, you know, you play another sport, that other sport takes, you know, the back seat. And I think that's kind of been that, you know, mentality in Saskatchewan is that, you know, soccer's kind of always that back seat, you know,
right.
It's the big one or hockey's the big one. And, you know, I think as, you know, you look at, you know, maybe the national team or the women's national team, and you see that soccer for women is on, you know, at the highest level, I think you see that kind of mentality start to shift a little bit as well. And, you know, with some of the successes that they've had, and I mean, the men's program, the U20, I mean, you know, maybe we're not quite there in the men's national stage yet, but I mean, I think they've had some successes with the U20, and, you know, I think that program is coming, you know, it's moving forward as well. So I think, I mean, it's a long, probably drawn out answer, but I think that you have the athletes that want to commit to it. And, you know, I think the opportunities are there now, especially with the shift to being able to do it in your club environment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another way of phrasing the question, I guess, would be how many of you U16s see this as maybe a potential career or a pathway into university?
Yeah.
Like, are they all thinking that, or are most of them just, you know, I just love soccer, and so I'm just going to do this because this is the, you know, the highest level I can play?
Yeah, I would say at my U16 level, I've probably got 75% that would want to go to maybe even higher than that, that could see themselves. And I don't know that I'd say it as a career, but definitely at a post-secondary level, I can see them wanting to get to that next level. I mean, I would say even higher than that. Probably out of the 13 kids that are in the program, I would say at least 10 of them would pursue a scholarship or post-secondary opportunity if it was there for soccer.
Do you think the Wolves, like the partnership with Wolves, has kind of spurred that on a little bit? Given them a taste of the fact that, yeah, people really go out and do this?
You know, if nothing else, I think what it's done is I almost think that sometimes Saskatchewan is this little bit of a bubble where you're a big fish in a small pond sometimes. And
right.
What we've really worked to try to do is to, you know, last year in May, we went out to Ontario for a showcase, and, you know, you get them out of that bubble of Saskatchewan and put them in an environment that this is what else is out there. And this is the standard in other provinces. And, you know, some of the kids that are going to be going over to England for the Wolves stuff, you know, they're going to be up against kids that are getting paid to be in that academy. And if they're not at that level, you know, they could be gone tomorrow. So,
right.
You know, putting them in an environment that's going to kind of see that there's more to it. So it's not such a, you know, when you get to that next, that post-secondary level, well, you know, you see a lot of kids that get there, they play a year or two and they just can't take it because they've never been pushed in that environment before.
Right.
So I guess you could almost say that we're not maybe necessarily a bubble, but it's like we're kind of all from a black hole in a sense. And
I knew exactly where you were going that.
And we need to get ourselves away from its gravitational pull and break free.
We have to get free of the event horizon.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
You see a lot of the kids that have come out of Saskatchewan in the last little while, and, you know, you go on different blogs and you go on this or you go on that, and you know, I just don't understand why there's any negativity towards these kids that want to try to go to the next level and to pursue, you know, whether it's the Whitecaps or whether it's, you know, Jordan Farhani, who's out in, last time I heard he was out in Iceland playing, you know, up there. I just don't understand why there's any negativity towards why, you know, to wanting to go to that next level, and they put the work in and, you know, things like that. So you're absolutely right. It's about getting outside of this and going to see what else is out there and, you know, to try to get to that next level.
Perfect. So I guess I sort of a wrap up for everything today. We'll do a part one and a part two wrap up. But I guess it's part one would be where do you sort of see things moving, you know, maybe in the next year or couple years when it comes to the Center of Excellence program with Queen City and the partnerships, working with the kids and seeing some of the kids that will be coming up into your U16, U18 age groups. Where do you kind of see things going moving forward?
Well, I mean, for us, I think when you start to have successes or you start to see some of the kids getting put into, you know, that next level or getting opportunities, I mean, I see it growing, you know, continuing to grow, you know, as the only center of excellence in the South. I know Astra has their center of excellence in Saskatoon, but as the only center of excellence in the South right now, I mean, I see people seeing that, you know, seeing that's what's out there and that this is a program that people want to come to. So I only can see things grow from here. I mean, the landscape, you know, here is, we've alluded to it, is a little bit complicated. And so, I mean, there's always going to be some challenges, but I can only see it improving and growing. And, you know, at the end of the day, if an athlete wants to get to the next level, they're going to put themselves in a program that's going to get them there. And whether that's here, there, or somewhere else, I think when you start to have success and you see that what you're doing is translating to athletes that are giving those next opportunities, I can only see it growing.
And I guess on the futsal side of things, and I'll phrase this one a little differently to make it a little bit more fun. if there were perfect conditions, let's say from the new year moving forward, where would you want to see futsal in Regina, the Regina United Futsal Federation? What would you want that to look like in about a decade?
Well, you know, I think it's at such a grassroots level right now. We're just in the very early stages. I mean, you mentioned it before, it might have even been off air, but just the push behind, you know, Sask soccer really pushing futsal and CSA really starting to push futsal. You know, there's development of national championships that are kind of in the works. And, you know, I'd love to see us at the ground level for, you know, provincial championships and having teams that are representing Team Saskatchewan at a national competition. And, you know, I just think it's such a ground level right now that I'm excited about the timing of it. And, you know, in 10 years from now, I'd love to see a well-established league that's putting players that are, you know, developing players that are becoming great soccer players and, you know, seeing futsal in the national landscape and, you know, watching it on TV. And, you know, that's where I kind of, at some point, I'd love to be able to see something like that.
So you really truly believe old buggers like Rob and I will be able to get our broken bodies out onto a futsal court, hey?
I'm a lot older than you are, Jeff. But your body may be more broken than mine.
My body's more broken. You're just older. Excellent. Well, hey, thanks a ton for coming on for the interview. And I am looking forward to seeing the development of futsal both in Regina and province wide. So all the best for everything with the Center of Excellence with Ruff.
And that brings us to the end of episode 64. Thanks for listening and good luck to Josh with the futsal league in Regina. Really looking forward to that one. We'll be back soon with another podcast, so until then, take care.